Would you open your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23? And welcome to our second week of Advent. And the title of the message this morning is Jesus is our Emmanuel, therefore we should rejoice. Or the better version is rejoice because Jesus is Emmanuel. Now, how many of you guys have solidified and have put into cement your Christmas plans, right? Have you guys ironed out the details of where you're going to spend your time? Just thinking of the holiday season and what will that look like? It can become pretty wearisome and it can become pretty anxious. I don't know about you guys, but speaking for my own self, December 24th, Christmas Eve, right after service, we're going to fly out to LA. We'll get there Christmas evening on Christmas Eve, December 25th, the following day, we're going to spend time with Renee's family. It'll be a big just gathering of aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and cousins, little kids running around. And then the way they usually do it is they would have breakfast, or excuse me, they would have pupus and appetizers at one auntie's house. They would have the main course at another auntie's house. And we have desserts and gift giving at another auntie's house. So we kind of do this caravan and we'll be driving around. And in between that, we only have 10 days in the mainland. And then we got to figure out stuff to do with my family. They live about an hour and a half away and kind of coordinate with my brothers and sister and my other brother and my parents and try to get together. And then we have our own family with Renee, Judah, Noah, Ezzy, and myself. We're gonna go to Big Bear and just kind of spend time in our own family. And then before all that, we gotta come back on the first Thursday. I believe it's January 3rd or 4th. And we come Thursday night. Jet lag Friday morning. I gotta prepare a message and write a sermon and deliver it for Sunday. And oh, just the thought of that can be extremely wearisome. You know what I mean? I think it's that classic case of, man, I need a vacation from that vacation. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And I think one of the things that's helped me is instead of saying, "Oh, I'm on vacation," it's not really a vacation. It's more like, hey, we're spending family time with extended family. But the stress and the anxiety of the holiday season, it can take really on people's not only mental health, but their emotional health. It can tax like people's nervous system, anxiety and worry and being physically tired, being emotionally tired. It can exhaust us during the time of preparing and making sure that everything is ready for Christmas. But hey, here's the good news. The good news is that a weary world can rejoice because God is with us. Jesus is our Emmanuel. Amen. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20, and we'll be reading from the ESV version. But as he, meaning Joseph, considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And so, Father, we come to you as we are. We come to you, Lord God, weary and heavy laden, and we need your rest. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that you would speak peace to our anxious minds. Would you speak peace to our chaotic hearts? Lord, I pray, oh God, that the truth of Jesus being the Emmanuel, that you are with us, oh Lord God, that he would not only believe it with our minds, but it would permeate our hearts and permeate the soul of who we are. That no matter what we go through, no matter problems that come our way, O Lord Jesus, you are with us. And so we rejoice in your birth. We rejoice in your arrival, O Lord Jesus. And we look forward. We thank you for first coming, O Lord, your first arrival. But Lord, we look forward to your second arrival till you return. Lord, I pray that you would prepare us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the story of Jesus' conception, it invites us to imagine a young woman, Mary. She is holy, meaning she is righteous, she is just, she is submitted and yielded to God, and she's astonished that God incarnate has entered her womb. The eternal God, can you imagine this? The eternal God will grow in her womb and will be her baby. And we could also imagine in Matthew 1, a young man, righteous, a just man. We learned last week, submitted to God. He started to find out that his engaged wife is pregnant, but not by his seed. He will adopt the child of the Son of God. And it is the story of this young man and this young woman. But more than that, you guys, this nativity scene and this birth of the Messiah. Remember that phrase, right? This is the origin, the Genesis, the origin story of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. It's more than just about a young man and about a young woman. It is about the account of God's action. It is God entering into human history, declaring who he is, that he is God, and we have to come to terms with God coming down here on earth. Emmanuel is more than the title. It is a declaration that God has entered our realm and that we must reckon with him. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. The right way of Emmanuel is Joseph and Mary, be it to me according to your word, that they trusted God, that they submitted themselves to God, that they were righteous. But actually, the first example, the prototype, as it were, of the first Emmanuel was the wrong way to do it. In Isaiah chapter 7, it talks about there is a wicked, a bad guy, a bad king of Judah. His name is Ahaz. Okay, and Ahaz was about to be overtaken by Assyria. And so Ahaz, God saw his people, Judah, and he's like, hey, I'm going to help you guys out. So God sends Isaiah to comfort Ahaz and says, hey, just stand firm in your faith. And that's the first promise. And second promise, hey, you're going to bear a son named Emmanuel and God will be with you. And Ahaz, instead of taking God at his word, instead of believing and standing firm in the faith, instead of this gentle presence of God, he took things into his own hands and he, this works of the flesh, as it were, and he disobeyed God and he aligned himself with other kings, but he ended up, he had a short-term victory, but he ended up falling and he ended up being conquered. And so Ahaz, you know, he didn't want any part of Emmanuel. He didn't want any part of God with us. He didn't believe that God would deliver him. And so what is the main point then of the failure of Ahaz and the success then of the obedience or the righteousness of Mary and Joseph and the fact that God is with us? Here's the main point, that we're to rejoice. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is always with us. Let me say that again. Rejoice, or we will rejoice. Jesus is Emmanuel. And God is always, would you write that in? God is always with us. Ahaz, he refused God's gift. He did not want Emmanuel. He did not want the presence of God. He wanted to rely on his own strength. But even though he rejected God, God's presence was still there. God offered to be with Ahaz to bless him, but Ahaz, he refuses God. And because he refused God, he himself becomes cursed. And there's a principle here, you guys, that, you know, for a little bit of, when we reject God's promise, when we reject God's various deliverance, and we work something out for ourselves, and we try to scheme and make our own way, we may succeed in the short term, just like Ahaz. And Ahaz had a deliverance for a short season when he drove out the Assyrian invaders. But then Assyria would ultimately conquer Ahaz and the people of Judah. And the point is this, that when we work out our own deliverance, it's effective for a little bit, but trouble comes on swirling by. It works for a while. You know, people seek deliverance in money and career. Maybe people, instead of trusting God, people seek deliverance in bodily health or their own strength or your own education or your skills and your family and your network of well-connected people. And they all, for a season, they will work for a degree, but none can match the eternal gracious deliverance of God. And so the original Emmanuel prophecy meant that God offers, God graciously, God initiates to be present with us. He will always be with us to bless us. But this morning, if we refuse his blessing, he's still present. God is still there. His presence is still there. But his presence is there to judge. The original Emmanuel prophecy of Isaiah bears a radical message. God is always with us. He's always present, either to bless us or to curse us. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, this idea of God being with us, it occurs three separate times. In the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. And so in the beginning, would you write this down in your notes that God is with us? In the beginning, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, to save his people from their sins. God is with us to save us from our sins. We just read this, Matthew 1:21, you will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 23, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God tells Joseph, the child is a boy, that his name must be called Jesus. And she will give birth to a son, and his name is Jesus. The root word of Jesus is God will save, or the Lord saves. And you know, the Lord saves, and he delivers his people in many ways. He gives food to the hungry. He heals the sick. He comforts the brokenhearted, and many hope that the Messiah would save them during Jesus' time from Roman oppressors. But the angel here, he declares God's agenda. Jesus will not save his people from physical enemies. He will save his people from their sins. And you guys, sin is the root of all calamities. You know, calamities, it comes from different sources, from accidents, from forgetfulness, from disease, or for example. But the root cause is the disorder of sin. And the greatest disorder is to be at odds with God. And Jesus this morning will save us from that. This morning, rejoice that Jesus saves us from our sins. And do you notice it doesn't say Jesus will save us from the penalty of sin? But Jesus, even though he does, when he paid it at the cross, he satisfied God's wrath. But he says he will save his people from their sins. You know what that means? It means that Jesus saves us not only from the penalty of sin, but Jesus saves us from the power, from the control, from the enslavement, from the mastery and the stronghold of sin. You know, I'm far from being perfect. I'm far from what I want to be and what I ought to be. But by the grace of God, John Newton says, I am not who I was. You know, before Christ came, sin would come knocking at the door, and sin, the pattern or the frequency of sin in my life would be nonstop. I had no choice but to sin. But when I gave my life to Christ, the frequency of sin has decreased. And the good news of Advent is through the arrival of Jesus, that he lived on this earth, the God of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the universe, took on flesh. He lived the life that you and I could never live. For 33 years here on earth, he became the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Jesus died on the death on the cross that you and I deserved. He was resurrected from the dead so that we could be set free, so that the power of sin is broken in our lives. And so this morning, rejoice. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us, and he saves us from sin now. He will not only save us from the penalty of sin in the future, but Jesus saves us now. The kingdom of God is here now. And that is good news. That is good news, that I don't have to be the same person, overcome, that the habitual pattern of sin can be broken in the name of Jesus through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. The things that you and I struggle with, it can be broken because Jesus saves. Whether it's lying or stealing or cheating, it's whether it's greediness or pride, bring it before the cross. Bring it before Jesus. Confess. Repent. Turn to Christ. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Go back to your baptism, that when you were submerged, you died to your sin. You died to your old nature. You died to your old ways. And now, Jesus has performed a heart surgery. So now you have a new heart. Before, you only had one heart, that is to sin and disobey God. But now you have a heart that would follow hard after him. So this morning, rejoice. Amen. And it's the first instance of God with us, that he saves us. Number two, would you write this in? That rejoice, God is with us in the middle. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us to purify his church. And that's found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Let's start from verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For there two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Now, if we could be honest, we usually think of this verse like, oh, there's not too many people in prayer meeting. Oh, there's not too many people in Bible study, not too many people at church. But God's word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. There I am in their midst. Which is an application for that. But do you know the context of Matthew 18 here? The context is church discipline, where Jesus says, hey, if a brother sins against you, bring two or three witnesses. And if he doesn't listen, go to him a second time. And if he doesn't listen again, the third time, bring the church with you. And even if he doesn't bring it, and if he doesn't listen to the church, and he will not, this your brother will not repent, then he says treat him like a tax collector and Gentile, and pretty much excommunicate. So all that to say is that this context of Jesus being in our midst is in the context of church discipline, of community. Hey sister, hey brother, I love you so much. We love you so much. You cannot continue in this affair. You cannot continue to be physically abusive to your kids. You cannot continue to be abusive to your spouse. You cannot continue to steal from church. You cannot continue to live in sin. And when we gather, Jesus says, we're two or three. When you confront someone in love, a sister, a brother in Christ, sis, this is not right, bro. You got to get things right. You got to confess. You got to repent. Jesus is in our midst. So, in other words, in Jesus in the middle, Jesus in the beginning, Jesus in the middle, he purifies us. You know, I've had to do this before when I was youth pastoring some years ago. One of our youth leaders got like a started messing around and started missionary dating, right? Meaning he started dating a girl that was not really a Christian, and she influenced him more than he influenced her. They ended up cohabitating, living together, and he was living in sin. And so I had a brother approach him, running out to lunch. Hey, you cannot continue this. You gotta repent. And he's like, okay. And he never did it. We went to him a second time, and he didn't do it. And then after that, in front of the youth group, was like, hey, you cannot, if you're not gonna repent, you can't fellowship with us anymore. You know, and that was difficult. Because, you know, my wisdom says, hey, love the person as long as you can. Love the person, you know, even in their sin, and just accept them for who they are. But Jesus says a little yeast leavens the whole bread. Paul says in Corinthians that, man, if any so-called brother lives in sexual immorality, don't even eat with them. Cut off fellowship with him. Confront them with church discipline. And we can rejoice this morning that, hey, when we, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And it's a wonderful thought, right? Oh, that's so cool. Iron sharpens iron. But when an iron sharpens iron, there's friction, right? There's friction, there's heat, there's sparks, there's it's on fire, it cuts. But in the midst of that, Jesus Emmanuel, God is with us. God is a witness that, you know, your heart is right. God is a witness that you love your brother, that you love your sister. God is a witness. Jesus is a witness. He's with us, that you're living in obedience to what God has called you to do. Jesus is a witness that we are living in community, that this is not a social club, that this is not just a gathering. We clock in and we clock out, but there's accountability. There's genuine fellowship. There's this koinonia, the common gathering of the people of God. And that there's church discipline in the community that happens. And Jesus, in this Emmanuel, is that God is with us and we could rejoice. And lastly, God is with us in Matthew, the third instance. Not only is in the beginning, not only is in the middle, but now it's in the end. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us to empower us to make disciples. And that's in Matthew chapter 28. We all know this. This is the Great Commission. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Have you ever tried to evangelize to somebody? Have you ever tried to make disciples where you're teaching people to obey? Have you ever gone to where the people are at? Go into all the world, right? Make disciples, teach people to obey, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. It can be pretty nerve-wracking. You know, when you evangelize, you almost kind of feel like Eminem, you know how he felt, you know, right? And the song Lose Yourself, right? Palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit in his sweater already, like, oh my gosh, I'm about to share, okay, I don't want to, and you make disciples. But Jesus says, in the end, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and then he's also in the middle, that when you and I tell people about Jesus, when we make disciples and followers of Christ, when we mentor, when we reach out to our neighbors, when we reach out to our co-workers, Jesus says, I am with you. And not only is he with us, but he ascends to the Father, but now he has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not only with us, the Holy Spirit is in us. And at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is interceding for you and for me. You know, Jesus says, don't worry what you're going to say. You're going to stand before courts. You're going to stand before kings and princes and judges. Don't worry, you're going to say the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you remember. And I'm a personal witness to this. Many times I've shared the gospel, and all of a sudden, God will give me a word of knowledge. All of a sudden, God will give me a Holy Spirit insight. All of a sudden, a Bible verse that I read will come up. And as I make disciples, the Holy Spirit is with me. Jesus is standing beside me to help me. And that is good news. That God, that Jesus, he is always with us. Jesus is not an absentee landlord. He is not an absentee father. He is with us every step of the way, and Matthew captures that. And in the arrival and the advent of Jesus, God is always with us. And that's very comforting. In the weary world, we can rejoice. What a comfort when a child goes on a plane, or when our kids go to school, or they start first grade, or they go to college, or they move to another continent, or our kids go to the mainland. When we can no longer be with them, God is with them. And what a comfort personally when we are lonely, when we are sick, when we are guilt-ridden, when we're afraid. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us. You know, after this coming Christmas, I have one more year of Christmas with my son Judah. He's going to be he's a junior now. He'll be a senior next year. And then after Christmas, summer, he'll be off to college. And I get a little bit anxious about that. I can get pretty weary. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want my son to fall into become a statistic. You guys know what I mean? I don't want to spend all this money on this education, and they're just going to bombard him with woke ideology. I don't want him to walk away from the faith. I don't want him to be exposed to the world, and it can become pretty weary. We can become pretty anxious. But the good news is, even though I can't be with him, and we as parents, we can't be with our kids, God is with them. Beginning, middle, and the end. Jesus is Emmanuel to save us. Jesus is Emmanuel to purify us and to make us clean. Jesus is Emmanuel to empower us to make disciples. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. So Lord, we just thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God, that every step of the way, Lord, you are with us. And so, Lord, may we never rely on our own strength. May we never be like King Ahaz, oh Lord God, that we would resort, Lord, to our own devices and try to maneuver and trust our own experience, our own wisdom and understanding. But Lord, I pray that we would take you at your word. Father, we thank you, God, that you are with us every step of the way and that your presence and your Holy Spirit is in us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would live as your people. Strengthen us, O Lord God. Save us, Lord Jesus, and purify us and set us, make us clean as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Don't forget our holiday schedule. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. Go with God and God will go with you. Love you guys. Have an amazing week.